Radio, where you'll get advice and answers from the guy who leads the organic charge. Author, landscape architect, arborist, and your host, the Dirt Doctor, Howard Garrett.
Thank you, Logan, and welcome everybody to the show. We're going to have our usual 3 hours. If you don't have a radio station where you listen that carries all 3 hours, well, we got you covered. We do it on DirtDoctor.com, stream all the hours live, and then they're all archived, so you can go back and check them all out later on. The thing that we need to talk about today, well, first of all, the weather here, we're wet and cold in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. I know a lot of you around the country are, but it's still time to do a lot of gardening things if the weather's nice enough out there. I've gotten quite a few questions about pruning this week, so we'll spend a little time talking about that. But we're going to go to the phone lines right away, so jump on board here if you've got a question about a plant or procedure or anything else, environmental issue, insect control, pest control of any kind. Microorganisms are certainly in the news in several different ways. We're going to talk about that. And we're only a week away from the big seminar, so we'll get into that a little bit. Telephone number to be with me is the same one we always use, just one you need to know. It's 1-866-444-3478. And it's wide open right now, so jump on board. This hour is brought to you by Munster Milling Company, makers of Munster Natural dog food and cat food. And we've got a cutie available for adoption here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. We want you to support your rescue organizations wherever you are in the country. But we're here in Dallas, and we've got the a couple of things. I didn't do a good job last week with Tinsel and Bunny. They're still waiting for their forever home. And then Paco is today's dog, 4-year-old male Chihuahua mix, who was transferred to the SPCA here in Dallas on December the 26th. Paco's a sweet little guy, and you can see his picture on DirtDoctor.com under the button that says SPCA Pet of the Week. He's a little guy, but he's a cutie. Check his picture out, and also Tinsel and Bunny, who need to be adopted together. So if you're looking for a pair that really like being together, that's your ticket there. Oh, okay. My tea is about as simple a tea as you can make, and it's a good one this morning. It's simply green tea and honey. I was kind of lazy on putting anything exotic together, but that's a really nice tea. I was reading about green tea this past week, and that it is something that we should be drinking on a regular basis. Really good for you in a lot of ways. So if you don't drink green tea now, you ought to look into it. It's got a little bit. Green tea's got a little bit of kick, a little bit of caffeine. But so if you've got a problem with that, you might want to do something else. But it's a very nice, very mild tea with just a little bit of kick. We've gotten really nice rains here. The rain has been very slow and soaking. We've got several inches. It's cold. It's been really pretty. We've been outside in shirt sleeve weather this past week, and now it's down back in the 30s here. Still very mild for winter. We're supposed to have cold weather in the winter, but this is certainly a good time to be pruning. My current newsletter, which went out a little later than normal, is on rose pruning, and you can read it, but the gist of it is that rose pruning doesn't have to be as complicated as a lot of people make it. Roses are really durable plants, and I encourage everybody to grow roses. When you grow them, they don't have to be meticulously pruned and the cut sealed and go through great labors. You can do that if you want to, and we give a little bit of information about that both in the newsletter and on the website. But if you want to go the easy way, you can just trim the shrubs back, the roses back, just like you would any shrub. And that especially goes for the antique roses, the old roses, the ones that are on their own rootstock, which are the ones we encourage the most. They're the best-looking plants. The hybrids, if you want to get into being in contests and trying to grow the biggest rose you possibly can, the hybrids are the way to go. Either category, and that's pretty wide categories, the hybrids and then the antiques. There's hundreds of different kinds of each ones of those generally, and then there's, of course, thousands and thousands of individual varieties. So you can do the real careful pruning and thin out a whole lot of the rose bush, or you can simply cut them back, and some people even shear roses now and are seeing that they respond to that pretty well, especially the tough ones that we recommend all the time. If you didn't catch it several months ago, there's a disease going around the country. It especially got started where people are using a whole lot of the same kind of rose. The knockout rose has become one of those plants that's almost ubiquitous at this point. It's everywhere because it's so easy to grow. And it's a pretty rose. It blooms like crazy, comes in a couple of different colors. There are some close kins to the knockout that are tough to roses like a home run and others. But when you plant a whole lot of plants and you create this so-called, you know, kind of a monoculture situation, diseases can get started, and that has happened. The disease called rose rosette got started with these roses, and it hits others as well. And all the universities basically put out papers, at least the quick research that I did, quick search on the internet that I did, I found nothing but this comment. There is no cure for rose rosette. If you have it, you need to cut the plants down, not plant any roses in that area forever and ever. Amen. I didn't buy that, and so we had some listeners with this problem in some developments where big numbers of roses had been planted and some other situations where the disease had showed up, and we tried our version of a cure. And the cure was basically the sick tree treatment with hydrogen peroxide added to the spray, and it worked very well. And we really think that any disease that you run into, the first diseases you'll run into with roses will be black spot and powdery mildew. And those are really easy to control, and you can use this same technique, Garrett juice as a base spray, and then add a hydrogen peroxide and or orange oil to it. If you want to see that recommendation in detail, you can go to that newsletter, which is on dirtdoctor.com. Don't get the newsletter. That's easy to solve. All we need to do is get your email address. Send us a email to info@dirtdoctor.com. You'll be on the list and get it with about 100,000 other people each week. But the one that's just now coming out, you may not have even gotten it yet because they go out over a period of time. But it's about rose pruning. And so check that out. And if you want to talk about that anymore on the show, we certainly can do that. We're going to talk about the seminar in detail. Let me these people that called in real early, let me talk to you first, and then we'll get into that. Jason, first up, and Lucas this morning.
Hey there.
Hello, Jason.
Good morning, Howard.
You know, I'm not hearing – haven't been hearing myself, Matt, and I don't hear Jason right now either. I tell you what, I'm going to put Jason back on hold. We'll try to ferret out what's going on there with the audio. Probably I hit a button wrong or something like that. Just starting on the seminar, if you haven't heard me talk about the seminar, we've been talking about it for several weeks now. It's a seminar for the members of the Organic Club of America, and you can join at the door at this seminar if you're in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, or you can join today, right now, anytime you want to, by going to dirtdoctor.com and click on the button over there on the left where it says a healthy living and growing seminar. You can click on the button that says Ask Howard. That gets you to a sign-up area, too. And you can come. You don't have to come in person because people will be listening on their computer. It'll be streamed live. It's being televised and all the audio done, all the whole production done by the city of Allen and their wonderful facility north of Dallas. And you're certainly welcome to come and be there in person. We're trying to get as many RSVPs as we can to have some kind of a handle on how many people will physically be there. The facility holds somewhere around 250 folks, I think. But if you want to just sit in your living room or your den or wherever and be a part of the seminar, which is going to last basically from 10 o'clock in the morning till somewhere around 4:30, maybe 5, maybe as late as 5, you can do it on your computer.
Tired of poor-performing crops, gardens, or lawns? Texas Plant and Soil Lab offers you the most accurate and thorough soil nutrition test in the industry. Our special method is accurate for every soil type and in all areas of the country. The quality of the water you use for irrigation is also critical to the health of your soil and plants. We can provide you with a complete analysis and corrective recommendations for your water. Go to asktheplant.com today to see useful information and a full description of our services. That's asktheplant.com or call 956-383-0739.
Keeping our bones strong and healthy becomes more of a challenge as we age, especially for women. This is Dr. Natalie Engelbart, scientific advisor for Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics. Research has proven that adding a probiotic supplement to your diet will fortify and strengthen bones, making them less likely to break. A clinical study done exclusively on Dr. O'Hara's probiotics found that women and men who took Dr. O'Hara's probiotics for at least 8 weeks had significantly increased bone density. The calcium we consume through milk and supplements is not always absorbed or used to build bone. In fact, without a healthy probiotic population in the gut, calcium can pass right through undigested. The nice thing about probiotics is that they are part of the original plan. They are supposed to be in the intestinal tract. As a doctor, I worry about depending on drugs that harden bone by slowing the normal remodeling process. But I can't think of a good reason not to have better digestion at any age.
Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
The Natural Organic Warehouse provides state-of-the-art natural organic products and programs. If you are a grower, farmer, rancher, landscape contractor, or homeowner who expects excellent results, convenience, and to save money, then you need to visit naturalorganicwarehouse.com. That's naturalorganicwarehouse.com. Once again, naturalorganicwarehouse.com. The Natural Organic Warehouse. Organic programs and products that work.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way. How it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to dirtdoctor.com.
Well, my dogs were making me laugh this morning, as they often do. And one reason they feel so good is they eat only Munster natural dog food, and it's what I recommend for your pets. Judy and I think that the health issues are the most important. I think what they like is the taste. Other major points are the absence of toxic pesticides and the presence of some of the highest quality ingredients that you'll find, including prebiotics and L-carnitine. The presence of some very unusual ingredients is also there. I've been recommending these things for a long time. Some of the Munster foods contain no soy, wheat, or corn. Some of the formulas are the original ones. Munster natural pet foods are made with grains from local farmers, and the bags are made in the United States. Everything about Munster natural is quality and results in healthy dogs and cats. If your pet store doesn't stock Munster, ask them to contact Munster Milling through their website at munstermilling.com. You can talk to them about getting the products in your area and making your dogs and cats happier and healthier.
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth: vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth: animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth: animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth: children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth: children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit howardgarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
Well, we got the audio fixed, and I'm sure it won't come as a surprise to anybody that it was my fault. We'll talk to Jason now. Jason, you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
I certainly can. Thanks for hanging on.
No problem. I've got a fairly large backyard. It's roughly 175 foot by 175 foot, and got some young trees planted back there right now. The majority of it's just weeds and whatnot. Just up close to the house is Bermuda, but once I get all, I'm wanting to turn pretty much the whole backyard. I want to get rid of all the grass and eventually have just all landscape, and pretty much all you're going to see is plants and trees and mulch. But I know your standard bed prep, scraping away about one inch of soil, getting rid of all the weeds and everything and all the amendments. But one problem I have, I guess, is Johnson grass. It spreads by the, I guess, like an underground tuber or?
Well, it spreads just like common Bermuda grass. All the Bermudas spread by above ground and below ground stems. The below ground ones are called rhizomes, and the above ground ones are called stolons. And it's one of the worst weeds to get rid of because it's just bigger stems and a bigger plant, you know, than the other Bermudas. All the Bermudas are bad, but to get rid of it, you're right, scraping away the top is the way to do it. With coastal or with Johnson grass, wrong grass actually, but it's the same answer. Scraping away more like 2 inches is really what you have to do to get the reproductive part of it out of the way. Johnson grass really only spreads through the underground stems, not above ground stems like Bermuda. Mm-hmm. But they're both tough to get rid of. Actually, though, Jason, the good news for you here is that Johnson grass is easier to get rid of than Bermuda grass, because it cannot stand to have the top cut back over and over and over. It'll finally die out. Bermuda grass, on the other hand, it doesn't bother it a bit to be cut back and cut real low. In fact, it thrives being cut down real low. So the first thing I'd recommend that you do is just take out an inch and a half or 2 inches, throw that in the compost pile. The compost pile with those reproductive parts of the grass in the pile, that's no problem, because the composting heat and biological activity we'll disassemble all those to where they're not a problem anymore, and it'll be a good base for your compost if you have enough room for it.
Right.
And then you can plant, you can prepare the beds, plant, and then as it comes back, you can spot spray with something like the vinegar formula that we recommend, or the one, the commercial product called Avenger, or use a straight delimonene yourself, I guess. The Avenger product basically is a concentrated delimonene with a surfactant in it.
Right.
So that, it's the same procedure, whether it's Bermuda grass or Johnson grass, but you've got to get that crown out, because that's where those stems are that travel underground and are reproduce for that grass.
Right. Well, I've noticed in some bed prep or up around the house, and plus in my garden, it attacked me in my garden, and I've had to go pimp. I've gone back in by hand and dug and just kept going and just pulling out all those stolons and rhizomes and throwing them out. But I noticed in up against the house, even the smallest little piece of that rhizome down in the soil, and that thing would start sprouting and growing again.
Well, that's true, and the way you get rid of that long term is you do everything we talked about, and then as it starts to come back, you pull those individual little seedlings, little growths out, or spot spray them. Now, you do understand the difference between Dallas grass and Johnson grass, are you sure it's Johnson grass?
The Dallas grass has a little black sticky heads, don't they?
Yeah, it's a flat, more of a flat grass. It's a real durable grass too. It's hard to get rid of it as well. But I probably would tell you to do the exact same thing to get rid of them. But they are a little bit different as far as management. The Johnson grass is a taller growing
real
grass.
Tall.
Yeah,
right. Does the Dallas grass have the same kind of underground the rhizomes?
It spreads by the crown and the rhizome growth, but it doesn't spread as badly, and it won't come back from little pieces as badly as what you're suggesting. So you probably do have Johnson grass. It comes up from those tiny little black seed worse than anything, and it puts
right.
out a bajillion of the seed if you let it go to maturity. So that's one of the major things on managing the Dallas grass is don't let those seed heads go up and come into maturity, because you'll be spreading it all over the place.
Yeah.
I think you're on the right track. Just cut out that top part of the soil. When you have that kind of weed in there, it's really the only way to go. And you don't, even if I recommended, the herbicides, there's no herbicide you can use at this time of the year that do any good at all. See, so the physical removal is the only way to go.
Yeah, I guess real quick, other thing that concerned me is because I know that some of those rhizomes that I was digging out, man, they would go deep. They weren't just up in the first few inches; they would be 18 inches or so down in the ground.
That's a little unusual. There'll be some of that, and some of that will come back, and you'll just have to keep cutting the top back. And you cut the top back enough, it finally uses up its stored energy and dies. Let me put you on hold. If you had something else, got to take a quick break. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, and I'll be back right after this.
With SRN News, I'm Michael Harrington in Washington. Conservatives and watchdog groups are trying to put the brakes on a $51 billion Superstorm Sandy aid package they say isn't all about relief from that storm. They say a lot of the money goes for other purposes or past disasters. France's president says his country is raising its domestic terror threat level because of French military operations against Muslim forces in two African countries, Somalia and Mali. Today is the first anniversary of the deadly grounding of the Costa Concordia cruise ship, and the relatives of the 32 people who died are commemorating the tragedy and remembering their loved ones. And hundreds of thousands of protesters are descending on Paris today to protest plans by the president to legalize same-sex marriage. Police are expecting 300,000 people to march toward the Eiffel Tower from three different points of the city. This is SRN News.
If you want to work until you drop, reduce your standard of living in retirement, or lose more of your hard-earned money in the stock market, then just ignore me. But if you'd like to generate a steady, predictable income, I'm talking real wealth and financial security for as long as you live, then listen to this. A free report is now available that reveals the money-making secrets Wall Street and the banks don't want you to know. This report reveals how you can get guaranteed growth, safety, and wealth-building power without risking your hard-earned money in the Wall Street casino. How you can bypass banks and credit cards and become your own source of financing. And how to get the money you need when you need it, simply by asking for it. This is the best way to have a 100% secure retirement and know your money will last as long as you do. And it beats the pants off any IRA or 401k. To learn more about this method and to get your free special report, visit bankonyourself.com right now. That's bankonyourself.com. www.bankonyourself.com.
With SRN Sports, I'm Patrick Foss. The LA Clippers have been the hottest team in the NBA, but their franchise record 13-game home winning streak was snapped with a 104-101 loss to Orlando. Clippers forward Matt Barnes says his club let the Magic stay in the game.
It don't matter about their record. They played hard. You know what I mean? They've been in every game, even though they lost 10 straight before tonight. They've been in every game, and you know, and you let a team hang around. You know, one or two big shots at the end, you can lose.
J.J. Redick's three-pointer with 42 seconds left, the game winner. Phoenix beat Chicago 97-81. Bull Center Jokic Noah with 10 points says he can't figure out why his team is so inconsistent.
There's obviously a problem if we're going on the road, beating some of the best teams, and coming home and against, you know, the lower echelon teams and not even competing.
Bulls 6 in the East have gone 5-5 in their last 10. Eastern Conference leader Miami crushed Sacramento 128-99 as Mario Chalmers scored 34 for the Heat. Other NBA winners, Washington, Indiana, Philadelphia, Utah, and Dallas. This is SRN Sports. There was a big upset in top 25 hoops as 20th-ranked North Carolina State had a top-ranked Duke their first defeat, 84-76. NC State forward C.J. Leslie, who had a game-high 25, says his team wasn't afraid of Duke at its number one ranking.
We came out to this game knowing we can win. We didn't come here to compete with these guys and say we almost had it. We came out here to win this game, and that's what we did.
Third-ranked Louisville beat South Florida 64-38. It was fourth-ranked Arizona 80, Oregon State 70. Number 5, Indiana 88, 8th-ranked Minnesota 81. Hoosiers forward Victor Oladipo with 20 points was asked about his team winning despite being outscored 52-36 in the second half.
It's big games down the road, you know, so we got to watch this tape and see what happened in the second half and what we did wrong and correct it.
Sixth-ranked Kansas beat Texas Tech 60-46. It was seventh-ranked Syracuse 72, Villanova 61. Mississippi upset number 10, Missouri 64-49. In the NFL playoffs, Baltimore won over Denver 38-35 in double overtime. It was San Francisco 45, Green Bay 31. With SRN Sports, I'm Patrick Foss.
All righty, Howard, back with you, and that phone number is 866-444-3478, 866-444-3478. One thing about grass, the thing, so just so I don't forget about it, two more calls coming in about grass here, so we're going to talk about grass for a while, but one of the things I maybe should have already done a newsletter on, I may do the next one, is you're still in the window to go out and spray for those of you that have southern grasses, southern turfs, St. Augustine, Bermuda, Zoysia, things like that. In other words, those grasses that are dormant. But if you have green all sprinkled through it, the winter weeds, whether grass or broadleaves, you can spray the entire lawn at this point with the vinegar formula or something like Avenger and kill those winter weeds if you want a clean look, like, you know, golf courses and some people want to have in their lawns. It doesn't bother me that much, but if you want it clean, that's the way to go. Steve in Gainesville, Florida, next up. Hello, Steve.
Hey, how you doing today?
Doing great. What's up?
We've been plagued over the years with what I've done some research and determined to be stinging nettles.
Okay.
And I looked up some pictures on the local U.S. webpage and got the common name heartleaf nettle, weak nettle, and the scientific name. But it stings real bad. It's taken over our yard, which is bahia grass.
You have bahia.
Trying to figure out how to get rid of it.
Okay. Well, it is a broadleaf, and you can kill it pretty easily with the same kind of things that we talk about, you know, using around here all the time, the vinegar mixtures, the the orange oil and things like that. One thing you might want to try there in Florida, Steve, there is a you'll have to buy it online probably. It probably won't be in the feed stores or garden centers where you are. You can check and see, but there's a product called, I believe it's called Gluten 8. It's a liquid form of corn gluten meal. And it's one that you ought to take a look at. Like I said, you can buy it mail order if it's not in the stores. And I'd be surprised if it is. But it's something that is very powerful, and I've seen really good results with it. It's so powerful, you got to be careful where you spray it. It will tend to burn the foliage of shrubs and things like that. I went out and just in a cavalier way sprayed it all over the all plants in my garden just to see what it was going to do. And there, it wasn't serious burn, but there was a little bit of cosmetic burn on some of the foliage that was fairly young. But it does a good job of getting rid of weeds like nettle and like other kinds of things. The other one, I would tell you,
spray that right at the base of it, or
you can spray that stuff across the on the Bahia. Well, there, how cold do you get? What's the coldest you get there?
Oh, maybe 34, 32.
Okay, so it really
That's
never does
rare.
Go totally dormant, the Bahia?
Correct.
Okay. Just follow the label directions. That's the other thing. I mixed it pretty strong and sprayed it. It is a pre-emergent type of a spray. You can also use the corn gluten meal dry and keep the seed from germinating and get things cleaned up over a period of time that way. The other product I'd recommend that you look into is called the Garden Weasel Crabgrass Control. And it's a fascinating product because it was invented and developed by a young fellow that was in the lawn maintenance business. I think it was in the Midwest somewhere. I can't remember for sure. And then he ended up selling it to the Garden Weasel people, and they've put it on the market with different labeling and everything. It is a selective herbicide that you can put out on turf grass, and it will control the weeds and not hurt the turf grass. You need to look at the label about Bahia. You're the first person to ever ask me about a weed situation in a Bahia turf, but I bet you that it will work. And for example, here in Dallas, we put it out at home on St. Augustine grass, which is a pretty tender grass, and killed both wild violets, but more importantly, the false strawberry, which is a broadleaf plant that was growing in the turf, and it killed it out completely and didn't hurt the St. Augustine grass at all. So that's one I'd look at the liquid corn gluten meal, and I'd look at the product called Garden Weasel Crabgrass Control. It's made out of potassium bicarbonate and cinnamon is what it's made out of.
Well, I really appreciate it, sir. Thank you very much.
Give it a shot and let me know how it works, okay? Because that's a new one for me, getting weeds out of a Bahia lawn, okay?
All right, thank you very much.
Talk to you later. Let's talk to Tom in Dallas next. Hey, Tom.
Morning, Howard. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you, sir.
Last year, you helped me beat back to a large degree a large infestation of grass burr in a lawn I'm taking care of.
Okay.
It's a pretty big lawn. And it was expensive. Put down humate. I think I put it down at about 20 pounds per 1,000 feet.
Uh-huh.
And cornmeal and a bunch of compost. And it did do a good job. It beat it back a lot.
Well, that's a heavy amount of humate, so I would imagine that would get that particular weed under control.
Okay, well, maybe I put it down less, because I did whatever you told me, and probably told me 10 then instead of 20.
10 would be kind of the ultimate for a good quality humate usually. But anyway, the point is for everybody listening is to put out enough carbon, build the organic matter in the soil, so you shut down the germination of that particular weed.
Right. Now, the thing is, I put it down, I guess it was in late January, because spring seemed to come so early.
Uh-huh. That's good.
Was free of grass burr until, I don't know, about May. I thought, well, I better put down a second round of this because there'll be another, because that stuff germinates all year, it seems like.
It can. It likes hot weather. So you can have more than one period of time where it's germinating. That's right.
Righto. So it was getting hot, and I said, well, I better put this down. And still was free of it, but then in the fall, it cropped up. Now, not nearly as large an infestation as I'd had, but a fair amount of it. So I'm wondering about this year, putting it down. How many times am I going to need to do this?
Well, that's a question that I don't know how you can answer, because I've had some people tell me that they've done this treatment of molasses and humate and compost and things that provide organic matter, that provides humic materials, that provides humic acid, which is where we're trying to get to, mm-hmm. to prevent those little black seed from germinating. And some people have told me they've done one application and it's completely eliminated the problem. And other people, especially those who have really sugary sand, really sandy sand, you know, crummy soil, they've done several applications and still haven't gotten it 100% under control. So it really just depends on how poor the quality of the soil is to start with. Is your soil sandy?
It's sandy loam, yeah, and it was never cared for prior to last year, let's say.
Yeah, the sandy loam would be better than just pure sugar sand, because the loamy part of it does have some storage capacity, which is what we need, you know, to store the carbon and to have that humic acid availability in there. Probably what I would do, Tom, is maybe do one more application of these dry materials that we're talking about, and then spray and pretty heavily to the point of drenching into the soil a Garrett juice mixture on a real regular basis. Yeah, once a month at least. And you could, you know, buy the commercial product, but in your case where you need to do it pretty often, just buy the raw materials and make your own from the formula on the website.
You mentioned molasses now. Should I didn't put that down before.
Well, it'll help. If you put dry molasses in there, what it does that's important in your case and for anybody really is that it stimulates biological activity about as well as anything you can do.
Cornmeal into fertilizer?
No, the two, what you're trying to do with the corn gluten meal is functioning as a pre-emergent. The dry molasses is stimulating biological activity, and the two do completely different things. The biological activity is going to be building the carbon in the soil more efficiently than anything you can do. The waste material and the dead bodies of those microbes is building that carbon.
Yeah.
The corn gluten meal still will do its function of that prevention of the little seedling from germinating and growing, whether you put the sugar out or not.
Oh, okay.
So you'll get a benefit from both of them. Don't worry about that.
Well, I was just thinking, isn't it true that the corn gluten meal, you can get about 6, maybe 8 weeks of seed germination prevention out of it?
I don't think anybody knows. I think it depends on the kind of soil that you have. There's probably, as far as I know, there's been no research on that, and I think it'd be kind of hard to come up with anyway, because depending on whether the soil is real sandy or sandy loam or a heavy clay, depending on how much biological activity there is in the soil, all those things will factor in to how long that cornmeal will be in a form where it still will prevent the germination.
All righty.
Yep. You just have to, you know, do it and kind of play it by ear. I think the best thing in your case, you might even try that liquid corn gluten meal the gluten-8 that I was talking to the previous caller about.
Mm-hmm.
And all of these things will finally get you to the point where you won't have the problem anymore at all.
Okay. The last thing is timing. How do I judge when to put this down? Soil temperature?
Well, the secret on the corn gluten meal is to put it out, you know, within a week or two of germination of the seed. So it's going to be, you know, your best guess, depending on what the weather is doing, as to what that's going to be. We normally tell people in the spring that's somewhere around February the 15th to March the 15th. But
yeah,
it's a guess.
Last year, spring seemed to come about a month early.
Yeah, and on the grass burrs, like you were saying, they'll germinate, you know, more than once. So that's why doing some of these other things in your case is important to do.
All right, so if I see the temperature up above 40 for a week or so, I mean lows above 40, probably about time.
Well, here's the trick on grass birds. They don't really germinate as early as some of the other weed seed do in the spring.
Oh.
So you may have to do it at that time where we're starting to tell everybody to give it a shot, the people that are going to do corn gluten meal. And then you may, like you've done in the past, have to do a second round of it. And that's why using the dry molasses and the liquid corn gluten meal and garret juice on a regular basis, you know, over a longer period of time is going to be important in your case.
All righty. Well, thanks so much.
Good luck, Tom. I know it's not, it's a little frustrating, but you're on the right path.
Okay. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, open line for you at 866-444-3478. I'll talk about the seminar in detail for you, too, when we come back. Don't go away.
Register today for Howard Garrett's Healthy Living and Growing Seminar. Howard is teaming up with other experts to present growing edible gardens, mosquito control that works, natural pet health, natural remedies for weeds, head lice, foot fungus, and insect bites, nutrition and health, and much more. There will be prize drawings throughout the event, so register today by going to dirtdoctor.com and click on the Healthy Living and Growing Seminar logo or call 866-444-3478. Register at dirtdoctor.com today and have a more successful 2013.
One of the places you can go to buy Crazy Water is at the Crazy Water store in Mineral Wells. This is where the Crazy Well is and where you can purchase Crazy Water and many related products. Crazy Water is what I drink, and there are several reasons why you should too. Other waters can't add naturally occurring minerals to their water, only synthetic ones. Crazy Water's high level of natural minerals are more readily absorbed by your body than synthetic minerals. Crazy Water is also a natural sports drink without all the artificial flavors and sugars. Crazy Water drinkers love it because it's real and it's an easy means of hydration and electrolyte replenishment. Crazy Water's been making people feel good since 1881. Go to drinkcrazywater.com and click on Find Us to locate a store in your area. If your favorite store is not carrying Crazy Water, click on the red Get Crazy banner ad on the top of the store location page to print a page that you can give to your store so they can get Crazy Water for you. That's drinkcrazywater.com.
The Texas Organic Research Center is a nonprofit research institute focused on the effectiveness of natural organic approaches in gardening, landscape management, and agribusiness. TORC wants to show that organics work better than chemical approaches, saves money, and helps us to enjoy healthier lives. The Texas Organic Research Center can use your support. Your contribution is tax deductible. Go to dirtdoctor.com and click on the Texas Organic Research Center logo on the bottom of the homepage to find out more about TORC and how you can help. Trees become infested with insect pests and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and disease pathogens are simply just doing their jobs, trying to take out unfit plants. More plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water, too much fertilizer, or maybe the wrong kind of fertilizer. Other culprits include toxic chemical pesticides, compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could also be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting single plant species and creating monocultures, as was done with American elms in the Northeast. The Dirt Doctor's Tree Health Plan is simple. Keep trees in stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insect pests and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic pesticides. Remove excess soil from the root flares, aerate the root zone heavily, apply organic amendments, and spray trees and soil with garret juice. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health.
Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit howardgarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
One of the most important organic product manufacturers in Texas is the Medina Corporation down in Hondo, Texas. The company has been helping farmers, ranchers, landscapers, and homeowners with quality soil-building products longer than anyone in the business. Medina has quality fertilizers and soil amendments, both in liquid and dry formulas. Medina's products work by stimulating soil biology to help all plants. Whether growing landscape plants, herbs, vegetables, grasses, or trees, Medina has products that help you spend your budget wisely, effectively increase production, and treat the environment right at the same time. They have a brand new product. It's a prilled organic fertilizer called Growing Green Premium Lawn Food, and it is great. The commercial version of Garrett Juice Plus is made by Medina and available in sizes from quarts to large totes. Remember to ask for Medina. Website's MedinaAg.com. You'll find the Medina label at hardware stores, nurseries, feed stores, and any stores that sell organic products.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way, how it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to dirtdoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you. Telephone number is 866-444-3478 if you want to jump on board here. Mary is in Waco and next up. Hello, Mary.
Well, good morning. I have had English peas the last 2 years. The thrips just eat them up, and they turn brown. And I planted some in a feeder thing outside of the garden, and they did good, but the thrips never found them, but they certainly find them in the garden. So what can I do to kill them?
Interesting that thrips have been a problem. You know, there's a couple of different things to do. One thing as far as a long-term control for this, Mary, and it's something that I recommend to every gardener every year, and that is in the spring when things begin to grow for the spring season, to put out beneficial nematodes everywhere. We also put out trichogramma wasps, but that's for other issues. And I think that the nematodes, if you get on a schedule of doing that on a regular basis, that'll help you a whole lot. For the have you already planted your English peas?
No, I was going to, and it just started raining.
You're kind of like me, running behind on things, huh? Well, it's it's about that time to do it here pretty soon. So what you might do also is mix a garlic, dry garlic, into the soil, into the potting, into the bed preparation. And you'll get some systemic help. We've had some help with leaf miners and thrips and other problem insects by doing that on some other crops, and I bet you it will help you with these as well. On your regular foliar spraying, if you'll add some garlic to the spray, that'll also help you with the thrips.
Okay, where do you find that much dry garlic?
Well, if you go to the big, that's a good question, because it's not really a horticultural tool at this point. We've talked to a whole bunch of people, and it's never been put on the market. What you have to do is go to some of the big grocery stores, and they'll have dry garlic in big gallon containers that's fairly reasonably priced.
Okay. Also, I have a tomato problem. I guess I was thinking it was the spring blight or whatever, the summer blight. But after reading a lot, I think it might be spider mites. My neighbors have beautiful tomatoes in the last 3 or 4 years. And I plant them in different places in the garden, and I'm about to run out of places in the garden. But they just shrivel up from the bottom.
You shouldn't have to move them around, really. Are you using an organic program, Mary?
Yes. Everything's organic, and I'm getting really frustrated. So,
have you been using all the rock powders and sugars and organic fertilizers in the whole nine yards, or what's your program?
Yeah, well, I put cow compost on it 4 or 5 years ago, and I've got it too strong, but I can't do it. You know, I don't know what to do about that. And then last year, I put the you advised me to put the cornmeal gluten and dry molasses, and I put them in the holes where I planted the tomatoes, and they started out good, but then after they get two or three couple months old, they start getting brown at the bottom.
Well, those kind of materials we like to put in the whole garden, not just in the hole where the plant goes.
Yeah.
I think we may have a fertility issue here a little bit. What the disease you were talking about is called early blight is the most common thing,
blight.
And everybody has it. But if you have it severely, that's an indication that something's not quite right. The spider mites usually come along as a result of the stressfulness caused by the disease. So what I'd recommend that you do is either, one, get some sugars, dry molasses, and cornmeal out across the entire garden and worked into the soil, along with some rock powders like lava sand, green sand, granite, and things like that, and go that route. Or better still, get soil samples and send them to Texas Plant and Soil Lab. They're going to be there at the seminar next Saturday and see what's going on with the fertility of the soil, because you got something that's out of whack there, and I got a feeling because maybe if you did use too much manure and you've then been putting the materials just in the planting holes. The other thing I would advise you to do, no matter what Texas Plant and Soil Lab recommends to you, is till zeolite into the whole bed. If you've got something that's too much and really out of whack, zeolite will help you balance it better than anything you can do.
Okay, now I haven't heard of that one. Is that something that the organic gardeners have?
Yes. Zeolite is a natural material. And it's a white material. It's one of the few white things that I recommend going into the soil, that and diatomaceous earth. But it has this wonderful ability to grab and hold on to things, especially if you've put too much manure and there's too much ammonia in the soil or something like that, which there may be a possibility of in your case.
Well, I've had the soil tested, and everything is high.
Who'd you have it tested by?
Well, I think I did it one time at the A&M, and then I've done it at that one somewhere in south of here, but I'm not sure. I can't remember, and I'm in my car, but I've had them done 2 or 3 years.
Okay. Well, if you haven't done it lately, do it again, but at the least, put out some zeolite, put out some other rock powder, put out some sugar, but put it all across the entire garden, not just in the holes and right around the plant, and I think you'll see everything getting better condition. Okay, appreciate the call. Well, I'll talk about the seminar at the beginning of the next hour. Didn't get to it, sorry about that. Telephone number to be with me is 866-444-3478. If you can't listen anymore, just click on the button there on the left hand side at dirtdoctor.com. You can learn all about the seminar for the members of the Organic Club of America, the Healthy Living and Growing Seminar. And we're going to have a lot of guests, a lot of experts there, and a lot of good conversation, a lot of good organic thought process from everybody there. So I'll talk to you later right after this.